We are children of the Most High God, a child of the King. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Our scripture today, as we continue on in this season of Lent, as we continue on in our study of the Apostles' Creed, our text today comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter, verses 27 through 31, and we are using the New Living Translation. The words will be on the screen for you to follow along. Please listen carefully to what the Gospel has for us this day. Jesus and his disciples left Galilee and went up to the villages near Caesarea Philippi. As they were walking along, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, and some say Elijah, and others say you're one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Peter, wonderful Peter, replied, "You are the Messiah." But Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in us, for the word of God with us, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me, please? Holy Jesus, the Christ, who do we have but you? Where can we go but to you when life is full of trials and when life is full of joys? Holy Christ, come. Come into this place. Come right now with your holy presence and reveal yourself to us. May we feel your nail-scarred hands wrapping around us, that we may be convicted of how we have turned from you, that we may be transformed by your almighty love, that we may become faithful disciples of your way. Come, Holy Christ, come. Be present in our hearts this day. Speak, Lord. Speak, my Lord, for we, your children, long to hear your voice. Amen. And amen. Again, we continue on looking at the Apostles' Creed, and today we look at Jesus the Christ. If we examine the creed in all its totality, we will notice that almost 52-53% of the creed, the number of statements, deal with Jesus the Christ. A big hunk of it. We read those statements of what we believe about Jesus the Christ. But to look at that, we need to ask that question that Amanda asked, that we ask little children, what do you want to be? And so I realized as I was thinking about that question, in fact, Amanda and I never discussed what she was going to talk about. We ask children, what do you want to be when you grow up? And somewhere along the line, we stop asking that question of ourselves. And the question changes in our college years to, what are you going to do with yourself? What are you going to do now that you have this education? So we go from asking, what are you going to be, to what are you going to do? And that's an interesting shift, is it not? In other words, what are you going to stop becoming as a person to what are you going to do with your skills? And yet, that be question is so integral to who we are as children of God, is it not? I mean, the becoming, the being, is what we're getting at in the Apostles' Creed, is who is Jesus to us and who are we in regard to Jesus. So who is Jesus to us? We've got to get at that through looking at what we just read. Jesus asked that question, who do people say I am? he said to the disciples. And they list all these names, John the Baptizer, Elijah, one of the prophets. He wasn't asking, what do people say I do? He was saying, who do people say I am or be? And Peter says, you are the Messiah. That's who you be. That's who you have become. That is not what you do. So to get at who Jesus is, we need to look at some of the titles or some of the ways in which he's been identified. First, he is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the long-awaited one. Of course, they understood Messiah or Christ as one who would come and break the shackles of the oppressive Roman government, someone that would free them from the tyranny of Rome. And Jesus, being Jesus, didn't see messiahship as that, did he? He saw Messiah as someone who would break the tyranny of sin, as someone who would break the shackles of their hearts, as someone who would free them from themselves, from the oppression of their own darkness, as someone who would break them free from the bondage within themselves and that which separated them from God. So how do you define Messiah? In our 21st century world, how would you define that for yourself? How would you see Jesus as that liberator, as the anointed one, as the Christ? It's very hard for us, is it not, here in the States, to see ourselves as being oppressed and needing to be free. But I don't know about you, but I've got some things in my life I need to be liberated from. So who is the anointed one? Who is the Christ for you? Jesus is Logos, the Word. We read of that in the epilogue to John, the Word. And it's more than the Word, the capital W Word, but it is also the creative Word, for it was by the Word of God that all things came into being. God spoke, and order came from chaos. God spoke, and all things came into being. Christ is the Logos. With Him, through Him, and by Him, creation came into being. He is the Logos. He is the creation. He is that through which new life comes to us. How are you allowing Christ to be Word to you? Or are you allowing Christ to be Word to you? Are you allowing Christ to be the living Word in your life? Are you allowing Christ to speak new life into you? Or are you just allowing Christ to be a passerby in your life? Just something we talk about while we're within the confines of this building. Does Christ speak to you? Is Christ Word to you? Does Christ reveal to you the Word? Or is just you do your 5 minutes of Bible study and think, oh, woohoo, I'm done. You know, they asked me if I read my Bible today. Yeah, I read Jesus Wept. That was good. You know? Is Christ the living Word for you? For Christ is the Word. I don't know of any Word that we need better than we need the Christ in this very noisy and banging symbol world that we have. For Christ is the Word. Another way in which Christ be or is for us, Christ is Emmanuel. God with us. Christ came that we might see God in the flesh and the blood. Christ came to live among the neighborhood, as Peterson says in the Message translation. God with us. You see, we didn't understand God. God sent the law and the prophets, and we managed to break the law and kill the prophets. But Christ is Emmanuel, God with us, to teach us, to live among us, to feed us, and to be with us that we might understand. Christ left the splendor of heaven that Christ might come and live among us. God with us in a real and tangible way. And what did we do to God with us? We killed that God. God with us. You see, we're also called to be Emmanuel's to each other, are we not? To be God and Christ to a hurting world. To go out from this place and say, God loves you. Christ loves you so much that Christ died for you and Christ rose for you. God with us. I find great peace and comfort in knowing that God is Emmanuel in Christ. That there is no place that I can hide, there is no place that I can go that God is not with me. That God is always there. And Jesus Christ is Lord. Now that's a term that a lot of us don't want to submit to. You can't claim Jesus is your Savior if He is not your Lord. And that truly means that Jesus has sovereignty and authority over all aspects of our lives. Take your shoes off. I'm going to stomp on little toes right now. If Jesus died for you, then He is your Lord, which means that you say to Him, Jesus, You have power and authority over every aspect of my life. Here are my relationships. Please, Lord, have authority over it. Lord, here's my checkbook. Please have authority over it. Lord, here are my innermost thoughts. Lord, please have sovereignty over it. Lord, here's how I use my time. Please have authority over it. Lord, here are the people that I just can't stand. Help me to love them. Have authority over it. Lord, You have all that I am and all that I ever hope to be. You are Lord over that. You see, there have been people throughout the ages who have tried to stamp out the name of Jesus Christ. There have been governments. There have been other religions. There have been tyrants who tried to wipe the face of the earth. Wipe Him from the face of the earth. There have been philosophies who've tried to wipe away the love of Christ. But I just know that when I go to a hospital room, there Christ is. I just know that in those times of great joy, when miracles have happened, and I believe that miracles have happened, because I know of somebody who has overcome great odds. It's only by the grace of God that there the Lord is. I know there are times when all has seemed lost, yet there is Christ. I know there are times when I've lost hope, when I just couldn't see my way out of the darkness, and yet there was a hand holding my hand, and I knew it was a hand that had a nail print in it. I know there have been times when people have come to me and their depression was so overwhelming that they were ready to end it all. And yet there was Christ holding them. I know that there are people in this world who say there is no Christ, that He did not get up out of the grave. And I believe they're wrong. Because I know that the love of God was expressed on Calvary. I know that my sins are forgiven because of what Christ has done for me. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe there's going to be a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe that the church is the best answer as the bride of Christ and that we are called forth to hold up the banner of Christ to this world. For He is the one and only one that can bring peace to war, to hate, to poverty, to injustice. I believe His name needs to be declared from the mountaintop to the valley. I believe His name needs to be certainly declared in Washington, D.C., to every capital in every state. I believe in His name that children will no longer go hungry. I believe in His name every senior citizen will be held in dignity. I believe that in His name that all derelicts can be released from their bondage. I believe that in His name All will find peace and wholeness. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ can be said and proclaimed that we will one day in our own church have unity. and no longer fight over things that are not of consequence. I believe that if the name of Jesus Christ can be lived out in our lives, that we will find in our land a harmony that we have never known. I believe in Jesus Christ. I love this man of Galilee, who can look at me and not see the destruction and sin that I've caused, but see within me the image of God that has been born in my life from the very beginning. I love this man. This man who looks at each and every one of us and loves us so very much that he would die for us. But this is Jesus the Christ, the one and the only one who can save us from ourselves, the one and only one who understands what it's like to be both divine and human. I believe in Jesus Christ because only in his name can we find hope and healing. And only in his name can we find the worth that we all desire. I believe in Jesus Christ, for it is in his love and through his grace that I can have power to get out of bed in the morning. I believe in Jesus Christ, for he is the Son of God. He suffered, he rose, and he will come again in glory. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Our last hymn today is number 338, United Methodist Hymnal. It's "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." Our altar is open. If today you need to bring yourself back to Christ or give yourself to Christ for the very first time, whatever your prayer needs are, whatever you're struggling with, our altar is open. You're invited to come as we stand and sing as you are able. Number 338, "Where He Leads Me."